What's left when you take the word investment out of an investment bank? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Layoffs always have microeconomic effects on families and neighborhoods. But news today that the global financial powerhouse Deutsche Bank is laying off 18,000 people worldwide could affect whole economies in Europe and beyond. It's part of a sweeping overhaul at the troubled firm after news broke this weekend. That bank will stop buying and selling stocks. Let's welcome the BBC's Damian McGuinness in Berlin.
Always a pleasure, David. Hello.
Damian, Deutsche Bank, a person outside the business might think that it's a bank that it holds and lends money. But of course, it had a big operation buying and selling stocks and other securities.
Yeah, that's right. This all started about 30 years ago. In the late 90s, Deutsche Bank invested heavily in investment banking. And the aim was really to become a European rival to the Wall Street giants like Goldman Sachs. But it went well for a couple of years. But then the financial crisis approached. And since then, Deutsche Bank has really struggled. And so what this latest round of reforms are about is really moving away from this investment banking business and getting back almost to its original roots.
But investment banking used to rake in the big money for Deutsche. I mean, this is going to be a gamble.
It did, but not over the last few years. So since the financial crisis, what's happened is tougher regulation after the crisis has made the banking business tougher in general. Of course, we've got rock bottom interest rates here in the Eurozone, and that makes it really difficult for any German bank to make a profit. But Deutsche Bank has particularly struggled because of a number of scandals. The new management of Deutsche Bank think that what they would define as risky global finance is becoming more of a financial liability than making a profit for the rest of the bank.
The BBC's Damian McGuinness in Berlin. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
We've also got a droopy Wall Street in early trading. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 152.6%. The S&P 500 down 0.6%. The NASDAQ Composite down just about 1%. The benchmark U.S. 10-year interest rate down at 2.01% now. Some of this has to do with the jobs report on Friday, where the government counted 224,000 more names on payrolls in June, suggesting the labor market is back on its growth trend. On Mondays, we consult economist Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives here in New York. Hi.
Good morning.
All right. So some market players in a snit because the labor market turned out to be a bit stronger than maybe they were expecting that might somehow quash future interest rate cuts. Is that the logic here?
Right. That's turning the glass half full to half empty, right? The market's upset that the labor market's so strong. But let's keep in mind that the reason that the Fed was cutting rates was to take out insurance against some downside risk from trade wars and a slowing global economy. It was never based on a weak labor market. So I do think that they're going to go ahead and cut rates in July. And from there on, the data will drive the Fed decision.
The data. So we're not quite sure about further rate cuts later in the year, but you're still expecting a rate cut quite soon.
Yes, I think that they have led us to expect that, and they're going to go ahead and cut rates at least once.
All right. Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives. Thank you for this.
My pleasure.
Unhappy with his central bank's interest rate policy, a president has fired the bank's boss. The country is Turkey. The Turkish lira is down about 1.7% to the dollar. Now to a story of the perils of having a brand with a sense of place. When you move production to some other place, when a smaller brewery tries to get bigger, it's cost-effective often to outsource the brewing somewhere else entirely. But you got the makers of Liquid Aloha in some legal trouble. From Hawaii Public Radio, Ryan Finnerty reports.
It's a mellow summer day at Honolulu's Waikiki Beach. Waikiki's reputation as a world-famous surf spot made it an obvious branding choice for Kona Brewing Company's Longboard Lager. The brewery sells beer in all 50 states, with names like Big Wave Golden Ale, Lava Man Red, and Fire Rock Pale Ale. Several of those brews are named after places in Hawaii. But if you're drinking Kona from a bottle, it's likely never been to Hawaii.
It's incredibly difficult to brew beer in Hawaii in a way that you can actually turn a profit.
Andy Baker has worked in the Hawaii beer industry for 35 years. He says just about everything has to be shipped in, from bottles to hops. That drove Kona to move production of bottled beer to the U.S. mainland and brew only draft in Hawaii. That kind of outsourcing is pretty common, says Bart Watson, chief economist for the Brewers Association.
It costs more and more to do business in a competitive environment. And so, you know, breweries are trying to find ways that they can still, you know, grow and be competitive without breaking the bank or taking on a ton of debt.
But that route can be risky. There have been several lawsuits in recent years alleging breweries misled consumers about where their beer was being produced. German brewer Beck's was sued in 2013 for marketing itself as a German beer despite being made in St. Louis since 2012. That case was settled for $20 million. Craft Brew Alliance, Kona's parent company, was sued in 2017 over claims the company falsely marketed its beer as being from Hawaii. Elijah Yip is a lawyer in Honolulu. He's not involved in the case.
The test is, what would a reasonable consumer think? How would they process the advertising copy, the claims that you're making?
Craft Brew Alliance settled its class action lawsuit without admitting any wrongdoing, but the company will now add brewing locations to its packaging. And any household that bought Kona in bottles starting in 2013 is eligible for a refund of up to $20 with receipts and up to $10 otherwise. The company has set aside more than $4 million to pay for refunds. In Honolulu, I'm Ryan Finnerty for Marketplace.
And slightly related, if you miss it on the air, the Marketplace Morning Report podcast has a report on how three of the top five most American-made cars carry a Japanese brand. It's a little like Maine lobster doesn't have to just be caught off of Maine, and unlike Roquefort cheese, which has got to be from Roquefort. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.